So the plan was to have a housewarming event. And it's definitely warm. But tomorrow is supposed to become much colder. So be prepared. And then spontaneously, Haridas Thakur arrived. Just before Kor Purnima. So in honor of the housewarming event, in honor of Lord Chaitanya and in honor of Haridas Thakur, we're going to read a section from Chaitanya Charitamrita, The Glories of Haridas Thakur, where Lord Chaitanya is having a discussion with Haridas. It's more than a discussion, it's where Lord Chaitanya is taking the subordinate position, asking his superior, Haridas, about the glories of the holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did a similar type of exchange, or had a similar type of exchange with Ramananda Roy, where Lord Chaitanya was asking and Ramananda Roy was answering. In the course of the dialogue, Ramananda Roy said, I am like a puppet. And you are pulling the strings. And you are using me as your instrument to speak your message. Because I'm speaking things beyond anything I've ever even considered before. And how is that possible other than you're using me like a puppet to speak your message? So similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is honoring his devotee, Thakur Haridas, to present the glories of the holy name. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking some questions, and Haridas Thakur is supplying the answers. This is Anchalila chapter 3, starting with text 50. One day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Haridas Thakur, as usual, and in the course of discussion, he inquired as follows. The practice was, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go early in the morning, see the deity of Lord Jagannath, receive from the priests some prasad of Lord Jagannath, and he would take that prasad of Lord Jagannath to Haridas, and that was his daily meal. Haridas didn't even have to do madhukari. He just sat and chanted. And the Lord brought him his meal. And then each day they would have some katha about Krishna, usually about the holy name. So one day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired as follows. My dear Thakur Haridas, in this age of Kali, most people are bereft of Vedic culture and therefore they are called Yavanas. They are concerned only with killing cows and Brahminical culture. In this way, they all engage in sinful acts. How will these Yavanas be delivered? To my great unhappiness, I do not see a way. Haridas replied, My dear Lord, do not be in anxiety. Do not be unhappy to see the condition of the Yavanas in material existence. Because the Yavanas are accustomed to say, Ha, Rama, Ha, Rama. Brackets, oh, Lord Ramachandra. They will very easily be delivered by this Namavas. A devotee in advanced ecstatic love exclaims, Oh, my Lord Ramachandra! Oh, my Lord Ramachandra! But the Yavanas also chant, Ha Rama, Ha Rama! Just see their good fortune! And the commentary is, they say that when it means, to them it means, Oh, horrible! And to a Vaishnava it means, Oh, Lord Ramachandra! in the purport, yavanas utter the holy name in a different attitude than devotees, but the holy name, Ha Rama, is so powerful spiritually that it acts anywhere, whether one knows it or not. Thakur Haridas, the authority on the chanting of the holy name, said, the chanting of the Lord's holy name to indicate something other than the Lord is an instance of Namabhas, is technically Sanketya. Namabhas. Assigning an attended meaning something, but nonetheless the holy name. Even when the holy name is chanted in this way, its transcendental power is not destroyed. Even a Malecha, who is being killed by the tusk of a boar, and who cries in distress again and again, Ha Rama! Ha Rama! Attained liberation. What then to speak of those who chant the holy name with veneration and faith? Ajamila was a great sinner during his life, but at the time of death he accidentally called for his youngest son, whose name was Narayana. And the attendants of Lord Vishnu came to relieve him from the bonds of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. The word Rama consists of two syllables, Ra and Ma. These are unseparated and are decorated with the loving word Ha, meaning, oh. The letters of the holy name have so much spiritual potency that they act even when uttered improperly. Yavahita Namabhas. Quoting from the Padma Purana, if a devotee once utters the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind, or enters his ear, which is the channel of oral reception, that holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage, whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, or properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. O Brahmana, the potency of the holy name is therefore certainly great. Therefore, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism, in other words, if one utters the name with offenses, such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. Therefore, one should diligently avoid offenses in chanting the holy name. Namacharya Haridas continued, if one offenselessly utters the holy name, even imperfectly, one can be freed from all the results of sinful life. Quoting from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, O reservoir of all good qualities, just worship Sri Krishna, the purifier of all purifiers, the most exalted of the personalities worshipped by choice poetry. Worship him with a faithful, unflinching mind, without duplicity, and in a highly elevated manner. Thus, worship the Lord whose name is like the sun. For just as a slight appearance of the sun dissipates the darkness of the night, so a slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna can drive away all the darkness of ignorance that arises in the heart due to greatly sinful activities performed in previous lives. The slight appearance of the holy name is called Abhas. That's the translation. Even a faint light from the holy name can eradicate all reactions of sinful life. While dying, This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6. While dying, Ajamila chanted the holy name of the Lord, intending to call his son Narayana. Nevertheless, he attained the spiritual world. What then to speak of those who chant the holy name with faith and reverence? He continued, because of even the faintest ray of the effulgence of the Lord's holy name, one can attain liberation. We can see this in all the revealed scriptures. The evidence appears in the story of Ajamila of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling great happiness in his heart increasing, inquired further. Quote, on this earth, there are many living entities, the Lord said, some moving and some not moving. What will happen to the trees, plants, and insects, and other living entities? How will they be delivered from material bondage? Haridas Thakur replied, my dear Lord, deliverance of all moving and non-moving living entities takes place only by your mercy. You have already granted this mercy and delivered them. You have loudly chanted the Hare Krishna mantra, and everyone moving or not moving has benefited by hearing it. My Lord, the moving living entities who have heard your loud Sankirtan have already been delivered from bondage to the material world. And after the non-moving living entities like trees hear it, there is an echo. Actually, however, it is not an echo. It is the kirtan of the non-moving living entities. All this, although inconceivable, is possible by your mercy. When loud chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is performed all over the world by those who follow in your footsteps, all living entities, moving and non-moving, dance in ecstatic devotional love. My dear Lord, all the incidents that took place while you were going to Vrindavan through the forest known as Jharikhanda have been related to me by your servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. When your devotee, Vasudev Dutta, submitted his plea at your lotus feet for the deliverance of all living entities, you accepted that request. My dear Lord, you have accepted the form of a devotee just to deliver all the fallen souls of this world. You have preached the loud chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way, freed all moving and non-moving living entities from material bondage. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my dear Haridas, if all living entities are liberated, the entire universe will be devoid of living entities. Haridas replied, my Lord, as long as you are situated within the material world, you will send to the spiritual sky all the developed moving and non-moving living entities in different species. Then again, listen to this, you will awaken the living entities who are not yet developed and engage them in activities. No purport. In this way, all moving and non-moving living entities will come into existence, and the entire universe will be filled as it was previously. Want to hear Prabhupada's purport? Or should I just go on? Prabhupada writes, while we are preaching, opposing elements sometimes argue, if all living entities were delivered by the Krishna consciousness movement, what would happen then? The universe would become devoid of living entities. In answer to this, we may say that in a prison, there are many prisoners, but if one thinks that the prison will become empty if all the prisoners adopted good behavior, he is incorrect. Even if all the prisoners within the jail are freed, other criminals will fill it again. A prison will never be vacant, for there are many prospective criminals who fill the prison cells, and even if the present criminals are freed by the government, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Karanam guna sangosa sadasadyoni janmasu. Because of the living entity's association with material nature, he meets with good and evil among various species, unquote. There are many unmanifested living entities covered by the mode of ignorance who will gradually come to the mode of passion. Most of them will become criminals because of their fruitive activities and again fill the prisons. Pretty mysterious, huh? Previously, when Lord Ramachandra left this world, he took with him all the living entities to Ayodhya. He then filled Ayodhya again with other living entities. My dear Lord, you have set a plan in motion by descending to the material world, but no one can understand how you are acting. Formerly, when Lord Krishna descended in Vrindavan, he freed all living entities in the universe from material existence in the same way. Quoting Bhagavatam 10:29-16, Krishna, the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead, master of all mystic powers, delivers all living entities, moving and non-moving. Nothing is astonishing in the activities of the Lord. And from Vishnu Purana, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may be seen glorified and remembered with an attitude of envy, he nevertheless awards the most confidential liberation which is rarely achieved by the demigods and demons. What then can be said of those who are already fully engaged in devotional service to the Lord? Haridas continued, by descending as an incarnation at Navadvip, you, just like Krishna, have already delivered all the living entities of the universe. One may say that he understands the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He may know whatever he may know, but as far as I am concerned, this is my conclusion. My dear Lord, your pastimes are just like an ocean of nectar. It is not possible for me to conceive of how great that ocean is, or even to understand a drop of it. Hearing this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was astonished. These are actually my pastimes, he thought. How could Haridas have understood them? Greatly satisfied by the statements of Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Outwardly, however, he avoided further discussions of these matters. This is a characteristic of the Supreme Personality Godhead. Although he wants to cover his opulence, he cannot do so before his devotees. This is well known everywhere. From Jamunacharya Stotra Ratna, O my Lord, everything within material nature is limited by time, space, and thought. Your characteristics, however, being unequaled and unsurpassed, are always transcendental to such limitations. You sometimes cover such characteristics by your own energy, but nevertheless your unalloyed devotees are always able to see you under all circumstances. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his personal devotees and began speaking about Haridas Thakur's transcendental qualities as if he had hundreds of mouths. Sometimes it says he spoke as if he had 4 mouths. Sometimes 10 mouths. With Haridas, it's hundreds of mouths. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu derives great pleasure from glorifying his devotees, and among the devotees, Haridas Thakur is the foremost. The transcendental qualities of Haridas Thakur are insurmountable and unfathomable. One may describe a portion of them, but to count them all is impossible. In Chaitanya Mangala, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has described the attributes of Haridas Thakur to some extent. No one can describe all the qualities of Haridas Thakur. One may say something about them just to purify himself. So honoring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, his celebration of his appearance in this world tomorrow, is very natural to also honor, or the same as honoring him is honoring his devotee, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu honors his devotee. The purpose of an event like we just had, besides the installation of, or Abhishek of Haridas Thakur, the housewarming with yajna and sacred mantras, is for purification and beginning the use of something, in this case the house, beginning something with auspiciousness. And the auspiciousness is these Mangalacharana prayers, are specifically the glorification of the Lord's devotees. And the members of, starting with the members of the Siddhic succession and on. To Krishna in the spiritual world and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva and so forth. Just by uttering those names, the auspiciousness is invoked. Just like it's described here. The inconceivable power that's there in chanting. We must be really covered or something. Because we chant and complain and complain. And, oh, the mind. And so forth. That's our misfortune, our dullness. But the good fortune is receiving that mercy anyway. Bringing, just as Rupa Goswami describes in Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, the chanting of the holy name and the other forms of devotional services, the beginning of all auspiciousness. Shubhata. Just to chant. And the chanting purifies everyone and everything it comes in contact with, just like the sun purifies everything it comes in contact with, without becoming contaminated. On the plane ride from New York, just a little sharing, from New York to Chicago, I flew on Southwest Airlines. Like, I usually fly domestic travels in Southwest Airlines for a lot of reasons. And in Southwest Airlines, it's no assigned seating. So the aisle seats fill up first, and then the window seats, and then there's the middle seats. But this was an oversold flight. They were announcing, we need volunteers. We can get you to Chicago tomorrow morning with a $300 voucher too. So I don't know if something happened. So I like aisle seats, and I was seated on an aisle seat. And somebody came along and asked if the middle seat was open, so they sat down. LaGuardia flights are generally delayed because there's so many planes coming and going, and invariably a delay. There was a delay. So it was scheduled to leave at 11:55, and it was 12:15 before they even said there's going to be a little further delay because something, something. So I started chanting Gayatri. And the person sitting next to me saw me chanting Gayatri, so they started using their fingers chanting something. And as soon as I was finished, they asked, what ashram are you with? Where's your base? I said, well, New York and Chicago, but I have a phone in New York, so I guess New York's my base. And they said, I go regularly to the Bhakti Center. And I was supposed to go there last night, but my yoga class took too long, so I couldn't go. So, well, I was at 26 Second Avenue. Where's that? So this went on, discussion. Here's 25 First Avenue, and over here is 26 Second Avenue. It's just on the opposite back-to-back, practically, and that's where the Hare Krishna movement began. Oh, I didn't know about that place, but I go regularly to Radha Govinda Mandir for the kirtan on Sunday night. And the kirtan on Sunday night goes till midnight. I don't know what they do the next day. But it's every Sunday night. It's like, you know, it's you know, we have kirtan singers like New York congregation has, Ananta and Achyuta Priya, Achyuta Gopi, her name was Achyuta Priya. And then they just go and 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 go. It's, there are people that come, you know how in many temples, people will come just in time for prasadam. They know when prasadam is served. Maybe darshan and then prasadam. But for sure prasadam. These people, many people, come not for prasadam. They just certainly don't come for the class, but they just come for the kirtan. And the temple room, after class is over, everyone goes downstairs for the prasadam. There's like 150 people upstairs for kirtan every Sunday. And they come from all over the place. So like this person was a yoga teacher, some yoga studio in Brooklyn, yoga teacher. And she said, last week, Kasturba, he came and, you know, he gave us a class. His association was really... She's just talking like a devotee. I didn't see any beatbags, but just talking like a devotee. I said, you know, who do you know at the Bhakti Center? Oh, I listen to Dandana Maharaj's class on my iPod regularly. This is like, you know, just somebody. Who knows how many other somebodies in the plane were like that? I don't know. You know, she knew me so because I was dressed this way, and said, well, you know, if you listen regularly to Dandana Maharaj, you might be surprised to hear on the weekend, he was giving class in New Jersey, and the home at which I was staying, the person was his mridanga player doing a midday program that he held. Oh, really? Premarnava was the kirtan performer, and had stayed at his home doing morning and evening classes, and Dandana Maharaj's class was midday. So it's like a small world. But, you know, the Hare Krishna infection is spreading by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So she wanted to know when are those classes at 26 Second Avenue, because I think it might not clash with my yoga classes. What time is it? And it's growing, and it's growing. It's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. I don't mind giving you another example. Ram Roy Prabhu. Some of you know Ram Roy Prabhu. One of Indra's 24-hour kirtan men. You probably heard me say this before, but it's growing further and further. They have some core people, and then they have some around the core people, and then they have some other people. That's, you know, like people that come in different days. Some come every day after work. They leave work early to just go and be with the Harinam. That's like their sadhana, is every day they go and join the Harinam. Now some of them, there's like six of them that are working, that are trained in kirtan. They can sing, play mridanga, they have just, you know, run the program. So we just bought an ashram for the Harinam program in New York. because they needed a place to stay. And it's growing and growing and growing. And you know, somebody at the University of Chicago started their Krishna consciousness with that program, Harinam program, and now they're at the University of Chicago and they've got an internship in New York just so they can go and join the Harinam program all summer long. Not have to go back to Delhi and deal with their parents. Just can do internship and go on Harinam, etc. Well, I'll share one other one. I went to the program in University of Indiana once. And out of the crowd, there was this, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, couple. And so I just, you know, was milling around after the class and sat down with them. And he's from some other yoga society. I don't know if you're still following up with him, but from some other yoga society. His mother was a devotee and something, something. And so he was with his girlfriend in the city of New York for some number of days with some business thing, and he was exhausted from, you know, trying to figure out his way around and dealing with New Yorkers. And he said it was at the end of the trip, it was in the afternoon before they were going to go back, and he heard ching ching ching, ching ching, boom boom, ching ching ching. And so he just followed the sound, and there was Harinam. So he sat down, and he was a percussionist, because he gave me the whole story. He was trained as a percussionist for their yoga group kirtan thing. So he sat down and they gave him a drum and he started playing drum and joined the kirtan, and it was like he was happy again and refreshed, and he had a little bit of money left. He gave his last little bit of money and they gave him a book and some prasadam. You're thinking, wow, you know, I can't wait till I go back to New York again. And this was in Indiana. And Baka Luke from our Chicago temple has spent, you know, the winter in New York with the Harinam program in New York, because they go on the subways. And their rule is, unless it's 44 degrees, they're in the subway. If it's 44 degrees, they're up. And so he's bringing that energy with him back to Chicago. It's just going to infectiously spread. Watch. All over. All over. All over. Madhava, many of you know Madhava, he's going to be there for 3 weeks just because he wants to help and support the program, and I made my schedule so I can be there when he's there. It's just this, the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just expanding and expanding and expanding. And then comes, you know, another challenge, how to train all these people. That's a nice challenge. Instead of saying, where are all the people? It's now it's how to train all the people. Just from the holy name. And so systematic education and training in scripture becomes all the more important. But, you know, that's, you know, that audience, you know, whatever, it's not just young Western, it's just young people. And now there's, you know, all of you people or devotees. Well, also, just like we read yesterday, the instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Kurma, the Brahmin. Take the holy name, chant the holy name, hear the message of Bhagavatam regularly, and give the same to other people. This is the duty of a householder. And so, it's not, oh, that's very nice, somebody else is doing it, so now I don't have to worry about it being done. It's something we all can do, should do. Read the scripture, and that's what the scripture says we should do. Receive and give. The gift of the holy name, receive it. And keep perfecting how you're receiving it based on how you're chanting it. And then give the opportunity to others. Go out of your way. Inconvenience yourself to find the ways and the means to give the same opportunity to others. And then it's infectious. People will become purified. And then we need to train them. So you're being trained so that you can train them. Isn't that nice? You have a lifetime's worth of devotional service, more than you'll ever be able to do, so don't worry about, oh, I don't have any service. In service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur, because in this discussion, Lord Chaitanya descended as his pastime to deliver all the moving and non-moving living beings, and then those that were in the mode of ignorance replaced those. Guess what that means about us? So the opportunity is then entrusted to us. This is our glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in honor of his appearance day and in honor of Haridas Thakur making his appearance also. Hare Krishna. Any comments or discussion? He sure did.
So, how do we convince ourselves that we can preach, although, say, I feel that I'm not qualified?
You've answered your question. I'll refer you to your question for the answer. Srila Prabhupada engaged unqualified people. And what was the purpose in his doing so? For their purification. So take it in that way. Not like, I'm going to go save people. It's my purification. And by becoming purified, I will then become qualified. So when you're being purified, it's the humble mood. And when you're purified, it's the humble mood. So start with the humble mood for purification. Simply in service. Let me be an instrument of the qualified. Even though I'm not qualified even to be an instrument, let me try to be an instrument of the qualified. That's how. So in a humble mood, acting as the instrument of our founder Acharya. He wanted. Does that help? Okay. Someone else? Yes.
Maharaj, my question is about chanting. Is chanting with duplicity same as chanting with material desire? Can you elaborate more on that?
Well, do you know somebody that doesn't have material desire? And do you know somebody that has duplicity? Is somebody that has material desire honestly acknowledges they're just like this question here? Knowing I don't have qualification, how can I preach? So it's not, that's not duplicity, that's honesty. So now, duplicity is I pretend that I don't have material desire. Or whatever it is that one is pretending. I'm a qualified person. Then the honest statement, so duplicity, it's opposite. Bhaktisiddhanta uses the word simplicity or straightforward. And straightforward in all matters, including ordinary dealings, straightforward. Okay? In relation to chanting or in relation to life? Something? Yes?
Guru Maharaj, in my office there are some Indians whose names are like Krishna, Radhika, etc. So many of us chant their names when calling out, Krishna, can I get this?
That's Sankirtan Amavas.
So then my question is, so the people who are calling those names, we say that that's Namavas, getting liberated. What does that exactly mean? Where would they be, how are they getting liberated? How are they advancing in spiritual life? I didn't understand that part.
I think you do.
I do.
But I'll just repeat it. You can tell me if I'm right or not. liberated in the sense that, specifically as we read, reactions to past sins are neutralized. That doesn't mean that the tendency for more sin is taken away, but the tendency, the reaction for past sins is taken away. Just by that very same what you described. Unintentional, intending something else. The translation in English that Prabhupada uses in Canto 6 is assignation. You assign this meaning, although the word is Krishna or Narayana or Radhika or whatever. That's Namabhas. Unintentional. So that kind of liberation is reactions to past sins are becoming neutralized. Tendency is another thing. Now, the story of Ajamila is narrated by Shukadev Goswami to explain that there is potency, there is potential within Namabhas even to uproot tendency. And it depends, you read the purport of that verse carefully, it depends on inclination to serve. Ultimately depends on association with a devotee to get the spirit of bhakti, the spirit of the tendency to serve Krishna awakening through association of a devotee, or for one who has that tendency. And then Namavas becomes, it's like, you know, people that come in front of Harinam. We do this, for example, we do on our, the taste of the holy name. Many of our congregation members come for that, and there's other similar venues. We're chanting publicly and people come by and they do their thing. They laugh, they dance, they chant with us, do the jig, and then go on. That's Namavas. And they're becoming purified. It's very powerful. Now, externally it looks like one thing, and spiritually it's very powerful. Okay? And same in the workplace.
Can I have a follow-up?
Sure.
Question? Thank you. And so at the end of their life, would they have a chance to get promoted back to Godhead? By this?
It depends on whether your association has awakened their desire to serve Krishna, in addition to having their reactions neutralized. He's making a face. So let me ask you a question between those two questions. Knowing that they're sins are being neutralized, what is it that I, as a worker in the workplace, can do to help them go beyond their sins are neutralized to the next step? Because Ajamila was released from the bondage of the Yamadutas by the action of the Vishnu Dutas, but he hadn't begun bhakti yet. It was still in the, from the Abbas. It became, by a choice, a conscious choice of bhakti through the association of the Vishnu Dutas. And then he went to live in a Vishnu temple, and then he went back to Godhead. That he went back to Godhead. So that was your question, so the in-between. What can you do? You can, you know, you carry bhakti in your heart and you pray to Krishna for an opportunity that the bhakti that you're carrying in your heart can somehow be transmitted to them. You pray for an opportunity to give that which you're carrying in your heart. And depending, Krishna can create an opportunity. But you're simply your well-wishing like that is benefiting them beyond just the, you know, the liberation notion. Into the bhakti realm, just by praying, even before you say or do anything. and other little innocent things like distribute prasadam. And other little innocent things like your screensaver. And other little innocent things, you know, that you can do. Like, you know, be a perfect gentleman. And then they go, wow. His wife is making a face. But you get the picture. You can be an instrument of Krishna to help them go the next step, because if you weren't there, they would still be saying what they're saying, names, but you can be an instrument to you know, take advantage of that neutralization type of liberation to, that's what you're there for. That's your service. And you may be a dull instrument. You may think, oh, I'm really a dull, what's the? But whatever you are, you try to become you know, more fit of an instrument somehow. And that's, you know, for all of us, not just you. It's for all of us. Wherever we are doing whatever we do, may we become a more effective instrument of Lord Chaitanya in this circumstance. When I told that girl that, you know what, I have a scheduled call with Dundermars this evening, she went, oh, wow. Well, tell him that you know, here's my name, and tell him that we spoke. And he was really happy. So I was just going to, you know, just somehow be an instrument. I was just sitting down at a flight, like I do so many other flights. And Krishna made some arrangement. Yeah. And having the desire, Krishna makes arrangements. It's exactly what Prabhupada writes in his Bhagavad Gita. Even if you don't act on such plans, if you consider and contemplate how might there be opportunities in the workplace, you're protected from the unwholesome association, and they're getting benefit by your contemplation, even if it doesn't become fulfilled. And then, but Krishna will make some arrangement. You'll see. I mean, everyone has seen like that. And in this way, and, you know, on weekends, go on book distribution. Meet people that aren't in your workplace. You don't compromise because of the work situation. You're meeting people. And you'll find, you know, the whole spectrum. People go, get out of here. And people go, oh, this is just what I was looking for. And people that are on the fence, looking to see, you know, what kind of a person are you. Then maybe I'll be interested in the book that you have. If you're a happy devotee, then they'll be more interested in the book that you have. This is making you happy. Let me see what it is. Anything else? Wait. Krishnarjuna has got something churning.
Sometimes it seems Jayanti Swami like such a big important moment when somebody has chosen to acknowledge some aspect of devotional life. Like, for instance, recounting this meeting with a person who attends something at the Bhakti Center. I got a phone call a little while back from somebody I'd been a roommate with so many decades ago in New York City, and she was not very happy when I took to Krishna consciousness. And her phone call to me was to ask me, she'd been having yoga classes in, I guess, the temple room in the Bhakti Center. So her phone call to me was to ask me, she was very concerned because she was doing yoga and she noticed that the deities were there. So she was phoning me to ask me, was that in order for her to be doing her yoga class in front of the deities in the Bhakti Center? And I was so surprised that she had thought of such a thing. And I found myself so concerned to be able to, you know, direct or say the correct thing for that particular person. So what I wanted to ask you, Sri Rupaswami, is sometimes one does have that moment where somebody is, you know, working up a little bit, and it seems always a very sensitive thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I find, I guess what I want to ask you is, how does one go past that little blockage in oneself of, you know, little moments of, you know, which way should I go? Which direction should I take with this particular person? I mean, what would be a helpful thing to,
guide what we were saying?
Yes.
Beautiful question, as usual. And the first and most important thing is the pause, that's my word, the reflection, and the mode of goodness event, rather than, oh, here's somebody I can tell something to, and just like dump. So the pause is the first thing, but that is already there. Now it's the pause, and you're not really sure because it's a delicate juncture. One suggestion is ask some questions. You know, appreciation, wow, what a wonderful moment for you to have that question. And, you know, I'm happy to supply something, but what were you thinking when you were there? Like, how did you feel? And they'll give you the clue. And, you know, before you answer, you ask some questions. Do you find out what space they're in? They'll give you, you know, the green light over here and the red light over there. Depending upon the person. Or even, you know, because you had a relationship with the person, just like, before I respond, you know, I'm in awe of the last conversation we have 30 years ago and this conversation. You've come a long way, baby. And, you know, you're not directly answering the question, but, you know, what was that journey like? And you're just like, you're parking the question to understand more about the person and their feelings and connect more in a personal way as well. And when that personal connect is strong or stronger, strengthened, then the sensitivity of what you might say, and what you might say it this way or that way, becomes diminished. It's more, you know, the connection is what's important. Does that help? Yes.
Maran, what is your view about internet fiction?
About which?
Internet
fiction. Two things. Personally, it's not something I have an interest in. And second of all, we contemplated creating a ministry for internet preaching. So it has enormous, in fact, it was one of the features of the ILS, the International Leadership Sangha, with 1,000 leaders, 1,000 leaders from around the world present, and Gopal Bhatta on the stage, and he was signing people up to participate with him in internet outreach. So if it's done the right way, then it's not a time waster. If it's not done the right way, it can be worse than a time waster. It can be, you know, indulgence that leads to insanity. If it's something that you personally are interested in, I can give you Gopal Bhatta's email address. You can contact him and say, I heard you're directing something. So he's directing something. We decided to not give it a ministerial status, but like, you know, some other status, like an office of internet outreach or something like that. As part of, so there's strategic planning over here, and there's this governance structure thing over here. So it's over here. It's in the strategic planning kind of thing. And he's happy with that. He is really convinced. Now, there's some other people that are really unconvinced. There's somebody that really, 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 really knows that the technology of internet saying it's useless, because the real thing is a personal relationship with a teacher and student. And this is a devotee that knows the internet really well and considered it, moved away from it, because he's convinced it's the teacher-student relationship, which is absent in. But anyway, different persons have different, you know, feelings for things and callings and so forth. Gopalbhatta is convinced it's going to be huge. It's going to amplify the Hare Krishna movement like anything. You know, let's see. It could create another wave of problems, who knows? Another wave of people think they know something, they really, you know, they're not connected from the heart, and so they got, but they think they know something. And I know what that's like. That's a problem. But he's roaring. He's not going to be stopped by skeptics. He's going to keep going. And I'm sure he'll do it in a quality way, as opposed to, you know, quasi, because he's very conscientious. Anything else? How pleasant. I'm used to ones that aren't pleasant. Anything else? Are we done? Okay, thank you all very much. Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
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 Jai.